Well, welcome back to our Unequal conversation. If you haven't been with us, we've been on this powerful journey, and we've been looking at navigating this conversation of equality, especially in light of the fact that every single one of us is created different. And we've been looking at this problem of self-glorification that there is within us, what the scriptures call the pride of life, this desire to make much of ourselves, to be able to communicate, no, I'm better than, or my group is better than, my family's better, in some way, shape, or form, to self-glorify. And we've seen what that can bring and the destruction that that can bring into our story and has brought into our story. But then we began to look at this incredible example that God has given us. And we've looked at the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and how even though they're in different roles, and even though they're different, how they seek not to glorify themselves, but how they seek to honor one another. And we've seen how every single one of us, it doesn't matter who you are, that every single one of us are created unique with something unique to bring to the table. And God calls us not only to recognize that, but to honor that in one another's lives. And we play different roles. But rather than honoring or glorifying our own role, God calls us to honor and glorify the roles of others in this reality that God values them the same. That God values what we uniquely bring to the table the same, even though it's very different to each and every one of us. Let me ask you something. How did it go with honoring someone else's role? Were you able to do that? I hope you were. I hope this is beginning to become part of that inner dialogue. This is a journey that I hope that we will engage together. Why? Because it's crucial. It's crucial if we're going to experience what God has for us, what God wants for us. It's crucial that we begin to eliminate, that we begin to move past, that we begin to root out that pride of life, that self-glorification in each and every one of us, and all of what it leads to, and all the different ways that it manifests inside of our lives. But as we left off last week, I told you that this week we were going to shift a bit. And today what I want to talk about is when that goes wrong. In other words, when rather than honoring others, when there's a group who actually oppresses another, when that self-glorification begins to be lived out and a role is used not to serve but to dominate, what do we do then? How do we engage this conversation of justice? How should we think about that? How should we engage that? How should we experience that? How should we talk about that? And make no mistake about it. As followers of Jesus, we have a very interesting experience of justice. Now, for those of you who are watching and you're seeking and trying to figure out what this whole God thing is about, I want to encourage you to lean in because this is the heart of the message of Jesus. This is the heart of what it means to be rescued by Him. Let me ask you something. For those of you who have stepped in this relationship with Jesus, let me ask you this question as we begin to navigate this. Let me ask you. Did you experience justice when God rescued you? When you experienced the grace and forgiveness of God, did you experience justice? When Jesus saved you, did you experience justice? Now I think that many of us would say no. And this is a great flaw. This is a great flaw that many people fall into, or many people believe, as it pertains to grace. They think that grace is is the absence of justice, that there was no execution of justice, because after all, I mean, you didn't have to pay for what you had done. Let me ask you another question. Did those that you've hurt, did they experience justice? And this is a significant question because God promises us that he will execute justice. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 12. It says this. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. He says, listen, I don't want for you to just continue hurting one another. And so I'm going to pay you back and I'm going to pay you. He says, don't get into that trap. He says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. He's talking about how we engage one another. And then as he continues, he says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And God in this moment is saying, he's actually in this moment quoting from Deuteronomy. This is something that God has consistently communicated throughout the biblical narrative, and that is this: you can trust my justice. Don't just continue trying to take revenge towards one another. Do not execute, try to make someone else pay for what it is that they've done to you. He says, no, I want for you to trust my justice, and I promise you, listen to me, I promise you it will be paid for. So let me ask you again, does grace eliminate justice? Did those that you've hurt, did they experience justice? Did you experience justice? Many of us would say, well, no. And this is a massive flaw because listen to me. You did experience justice, not because you paid for it, but because Jesus paid for it on your behalf. And for those that you've hurt, it has been paid for. It's so important that we understand this about how God engages justice and what grace actually means. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 3. This is a crucial passage on justice. It says, but now a righteousness apart from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. He says, now it's been made possible for us to be made right with God, not because we've earned it, a different way for us to be made right with God. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. He's talking about how we have that ability to be made right with God through Jesus, and it's through faith. It says, there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is why you hear us say over and over again, it doesn't matter who you are, there is no difference, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter where you're going, it doesn't matter what mistake you've made in the past, it doesn't matter how you've walked away from God, how you've rejected God. No, it's the same for every single one of us. He says, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And then he continues, and listen to what he says. This is how we're justified. This is how God executes, how we are able to stand before God free and clear, forgiven. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement. In other words, he took the justice that he paid the payment that was due. The payment that was due for those who had been hurt by you, for the way that you had spit in the face of your Creator, he pays that payment. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Now, what is he talking about here? He's talking about the fact that before Jesus, it had not yet been paid for, and it looked as if God wasn't going to be just. It looked as if justice, if God was just, God was just foregoing justice. But when Jesus gives his life on that cross, he says, not only does this demonstrate my justice in the way that I forgive, but this also demonstrates my justice for those who had before not experienced what they deserved. This is an incredible, incredible passage on justice. You see, grace is not the elimination of justice. No. Grace is the ultimate execution of justice. That what you deserved was paid for. You experienced justice. Yes, you experience justice because Jesus took your place. It was paid for. Your forgiveness is just. And God can look honestly and lovingly at each and every one of us who's been hurt and said, no, it has been paid for. But it's not just that we didn't have to pay for what we'd done, is it? There's even more to it than that, because God doesn't just forgive us. He gives his incredible love to us. He invites us, he brings us, he adopts us into his family. He pours out blessings on us. He makes us an heir in his kingdom. And grace is not just that we don't have to pay for the mistakes that we made. Grace is unmerited favor. It's what we're given. And again, this is where we often make a mistake because listen to me. Grace is unmerited favor, but don't think it's unearned. Listen to me. Grace is unmerited favor, but don't think it's unearned. Let me ask you another question. Was God just in his dealing with Jesus? Did Jesus experience justice? I mean, you're talking about someone who lived a sinless life, engaged the role that God called him to play with everything that he had, lived it perfectly, and then experienced the cross. Let me ask you a question. Did he experience justice? Because justice it doesn't just have to do with payment in terms of the mistakes. It also has to do with payment in terms of what it is that we've earned. And look at what Jesus earned. Look at the life that he lived. And then he experiences the cross. Did Jesus experience justice? I mean, what he deserved, was it paid? Yeah, it was. It just wasn't paid to him. It was paid to you. And it was paid to me. And justice was served. Because what Jesus earned with his life was paid out. It just wasn't paid to him. It was paid to you. It was paid to us. And both you and I and Jesus experienced justice because the payment was made. The just payment was made. It's just an unfathomable exchange that Jesus willingly stepped into our story and exchanged the payment that we deserved for the payment that he deserved. He exchanged the payment for our mistakes for the payment for his righteous, perfect life. And just as he earned, he justly earned our forgiveness in his death, he justly earned our adoption through his life. And God says, this is the ultimate of love. This is what love looks like. That I would exchange what I deserve for what you deserve. That this is the ultimate of what it means to truly love someone. And make no mistake about it. Remember, I told you early on, for those of you who are seeking, lean in, that he did this for the entire world. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians. It says, all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. He's talking about how he has now brought us into this relationship with him and now calls us, gives us the ministry of reconciliation, calls us to bring this to the world, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the mistakes that you've made. He made that exchange for you. You don't have to accept it. And if you're watching this and you say, no, I want one day to stand before God and answer for me and what I've done. I want to answer for that myself. You can. But Jesus has come and lived the life that he lived and died the death that he died to exchange, to justly exchange the payment that is due to you for the payment that is due to him. How incredible is that? For some of you, you're not going to be able to get past this point in the conversation because you have just awakened to an entirely new understanding of how much Jesus loves you, of what he's done for you, of what our experience of God's justice looks like. This is our reality. And this, listen to me, this is the message. We are his ambassadors. This is the message that we've been sent with to the world. This is the good news of Jesus. And God says, I want you to take this to the world, and I want you to share this every opportunity you can, in every situation that you can. I want the world to know this. I want them to experience the joy of that exchange, the power of that exchange, the love of that exchange, the grace of that exchange. I want them to experience it.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So does that end the conversation on justice? I mean, we've seen this incredible exchange, some of us experiencing the depth of it for the very first time. Is that the end to the conversation on justice? No. And this is part of what makes it so tricky. We've seen our very unique experience of how God justly steps into our lives and loves us in this way. But there's more to it than that. Because God also speaks to us about human justice. In other words, how we operate as a society, how we govern our society, and the way in which we justly experience each other, the way that we call people to be just in the way that they engage one another. In Romans, he actually talks about this in terms of government. Listen to what he says. He says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. He's talking about God's plan, how God moves. It's so beyond us. He's not saying here, you just blindly do whatever the government tells you to do. Paul has clearly been thrown in prison many, many times. There are many times where he has stood up and said, no, that's against what God has called for. That's against what God has called me to do. He's not saying that, but in this moment, he's talking about, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like. He says, the authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right. And again, remember, who is he writing to? He's writing to the church at Rome. He's clearly not talking about, okay, this is the way it always is. The government always does what's right. clearly, if you think you have seen a government that unjustly treats people, Rome is the ultimate example of that. He's clearly not talking about what they're experiencing. He's talking about, okay, this is the way it's supposed to be. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. And in this moment, what does he do? Well, he walks us through. He walks us through. And even as he continues, he says, therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. And he walks us in this moment. He's walking us through and saying, okay, this is ideally what it's supposed to look like. Did it look like that in Rome? Absolutely not. You have individuals who are being put to death because of the fact that they follow Jesus. But this is, he's saying, no, this is what justice should look like. This is, as you come together as a society, as a government, this is what it should look like. This is how it should operate. This is its role inside of society. And in this moment, he's sharing with us, okay, no. There's a place for it. There's a place for human justice. There's a place for inside of society, us calling people to be just. And rather than using roles to lord over and dominate, rather than elevating our group over another, rather than allowing self-glorification to go unchecked, that there's a role inside of society for calling people to justice. And God says, make no mistake about it, I will ensure that that is fully carried out. But as you govern one another, as you engage with one another, this is important, which is very interesting for those of us and very important for those of us who are followers of Christ inside of our culture. Because not only do we see God calling us to this, and frequently throughout scriptures, God calls us to the importance of this in the way in which we engage with one another, and the way in which our cultures and our societies are structured, that there is justice, and God is passionate about that. And for those of us in our culture who see this and see God calling us to this, this is very interesting because, well, we actually have a voice in that in our culture. For most of those who've come before us, they had no voice in what that looked like inside of their society or their culture, because they lived in societies and cultures that were dominated by one person or by one group of people, and they had no say in it whatsoever. But inside of our culture, we actually have a say. You have a voice. And so for us, as we see this, not only have we experienced the incredible exchange of justice, but we also know that God calls us. God calls us to engage society this way. Calls governments to be just in the way that they engage their people. Well, we have a say in that in our country. And so for us, it's incredibly important. We have a responsibility to use our voice, to use our vote for government to be reflective of what we see here. That our society would be a just society, that it would reflect what God has taught us about how people are valuable, that it would reflect what God has taught us about how roles are valuable, that it would be just. We not only have an opportunity, we have a responsibility to step into that. And we understand that this is what God wants. God wants for government to look like, that this is how it should function. It's important that you vote. It's important that you step into that role, that you engage your role as a citizen. It's important. It's important that as we look at what God has taught us about justice, what God has taught us about government, what it should look like, that you use your voice to shape that. It's important that we step into that together. And make no mistake about it. This is a tension. Because as a citizen, as a citizen within our society and inside of our government. I call for my government to be just. I call for justice from our culture, from our society, from our government. I call for that. And yet, as a citizen of heaven, I call for people to experience the incredible exchange of justice that God's love and grace have made possible. And as a follower of Jesus, we have to carry both of those at the same time, which is why I can call for the imprisonment of someone who has injured someone else, and at the same time show up the day of imprisonment to communicate with humility, understanding what Jesus has done for me, understanding that I am no better than that person, to communicate the incredible truth that they can be forgiven and experience this incredible exchange of justice. We have to carry both. It's a tension that we live in. We call for justice as citizens of our culture. We call for people to experience the exchange of justice, for forgiveness and grace as citizens of heaven. And we have to carry both at the same time. It's not easy to walk in that tension. And it's really easy to decide to be one or the other. And it's easy to become the one who calls for human justice and there's no communication of the incredible exchange, the humility of the fact that, no. The only reason that I've been forgiven is God's grace and mercy and what Jesus did for me on that cross. There's no communication of that. And on the other hand, to communicate the exchange, but not to act when you see, not to step into that role of a citizen inside of our culture, to act in situations of injustice. Both are a flaw. Both are a flaw, and God calls us. God calls us to engage both. To engage both. It's not easy to walk in that tension. But our Father not only calls us to it, He wants to lead us through it. He wants to lead us through it. Let me ask you something. Where are you with that tension? Where are you? As you think about it today, where are you? I hope that today will challenge us to engage and think about both aspects of this. Both aspects of this tension. Both roles. Both messages that we carry. And in addition to that, let me also ask those of you who are trying to figure this God thing out, where are you in your experience of that exchange of justice and what Jesus has done for you, what He's made possible? I hope that today you'll maybe for the first time trust Him. Trust Him that He loves you that much. Will you pray with me? Father, it's unbelievable how you lead us through this, how this incredible exchange of justice, this unbelievable way that we've experienced justice in our relationship with you, and yet how you call us to step into inside of society and culture, and the way that we govern, to step into moments of injustice and call for to work for our society and our culture to be reflective of what is just and what you've taught us about what is just, and the way that people should be valued, and the way that roles should be utilized. Father, I pray that you would continue to lead us through this, and I thank you for the incredible way that through this entire journey you've shown us over and over and over again that your dream is far greater than ours, and that even in the midst of this, you have something powerful, something beautiful for us. Not only for us to experience, but for us to bring to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.